the 85 South, about to stop for my morning routine, but how are you doing? I hear a diesel in the background. You got your truck running today?
Yep, I'm running it today. This is a blowout sale. It's the blowout sale. I'm getting rid of everything I got in stock. Don't know. I mean, I got quite a bit of stuff on here, but I have let the inventory dwindle over the last few weeks.
I'm trying to think if I need anything tool-related that I can't get at work, but nothing's coming to mind right now.
Unless you're needing hardline stuff, ratchets, wrenches, stuff like that, I wouldn't know what to even offer you. You got all the battery supplies and stuff.
Well, torque wrench run these days?
I pay more attention to retail because that's just what I'm normally dealing with, but they're upwards of, you know, $650, $700 now.
For my blood, even at wholesale, man, holy cow, I don't turn one nothing enough to justify that.
I say, they're up there, and even at my cost, you figure 30% off of that, you're still over $500.
I need a torque wrench for is on my lugs after I do a tire rotation, and I think the manual one works just fine.
A digital torque wrench for that. A old clicker is the way to go. You're just wearing a digital out for nothing that kind of, with that kind of money.
Move everything pretty quickly and get yourself out of that. You know, that's that inventory is, you know, when you're not having to replenish your inventory, it does turn into a nice bump, doesn't it? Or is that something you have to lease from them? To whoever picks up your route after you're gone.
I don't have anybody for the route. Even though they tried to threaten me with that or scare me, whatever you want to call it, I had people standing in line. They've had 3 months to find somebody, and they called last week and said, asked me to stay another 3 months because they couldn't get anybody to fill the route.
I pound sand with that one.
I took such pleasure in doing so.
I would love to have been in a fly on the wall in that conversation, but, I'm glad you stood up for yourself and just told him to take a hike after threatening you like that. That's just poor taste right there.
And I don't want to slight Matco on that one. That was all the district manager. It's just, he's just that kind of slimy person.
Everywhere, but, well, you know, it's time to turn the page to a new chapter, and I'm sure after you take some time, you'll get something good. But I'm pulling into the QT here, so I'm going to run in and grab a drink. Actually, I'm going to go up to the pilot because I know that the fountain at the QT is broken. It looks like they're closing it today. Yeah, they got the signs on the door. Quick Trip is closed again today. They were closed last week, too.
Well, that's kind of hard for them. They usually don't have that kind of problem. Who knows?
Last year and redid the entire store on the inside. So I did overhear them talking about having some kind of new camera system installed. I'm wondering if they have to shut down to make room for all the people that have to install that. They were talking about some new AI-driven camera system that would automatically look at the inventory on the shelves and order stuff when it started getting low. So I don't know if that's what they're doing now or not.
No telling, and they need to watch something for theft. I've seen people stealing stuff left and right in there.
Got to, but anyway, running in. I'll be back in a couple minutes. WTJKT.
04HKX. Hope you're having a good start to your Thursday. Radio this morning.
Radio? You sound different.
Maybe it's just me. I hadn't been in the tool truck in a while, so maybe that's all it is.
I had for 6 years.
It sounds fine. It was different. But anyway, Got big plans for the weekend. I think you said you didn't have a whole lot going on until Sunday.
We know of. Like I said, granddaughter's probably coming over on Sunday, but other than that, not too much going on that I know of right now. Spartanburg picked me up a new pair of work boots.
There in Spartanburg to do that.
Yeah, it's a little shop called Sheep Town over there, kind of about near here in Circle, but they'll take our little company vouchers.
I'm just curious. It's hard to find a good pair of work boots anymore.
And my problem is that they, 12,000 steps a day average on concrete and asphalt, you can wear them out pretty quick on the bottom.
You might want to look at the Redback boots if they got them. They actually hold up pretty good, the guys working on concrete all day.
Anyway, looking, it said I needed, like, rubber soles held up the best to asphalt, and I got a lot of that.
These are made for working on concrete, and trust me, if these mechanics are wearing them for 2 and 3 years, you'll be okay.
Good morning, KN4 KFW.
The last couple days have been pretty exhausting.
You say the kids were off or something like that? You had to work from home?
Out of town for work, so yeah, I had to do all the duties at home for a couple days.
Check this red light. He's blinding me with these sheets that look like 6-inch diameter fog lights.
It'll be on the highway either. Sorry, Eric. I was just saying, they're probably not legal to be used on the highway either.
He looks cool.
Be running them now, I'm sure.
He looks cool.
I ain't running mine unless I just absolutely need them. I mean, Wade Hampton's so lit up, you almost don't even need your headlight.
The idea is, I see them out here driving all the time with no headlights on.
Got a vehicle question. Pickup truck, it's a Chevrolet, must be a, 1500 or something. It's fairly new, only a couple of years old, but he said the other day he's going home and he looks down and he sees that the temperature gauge is pegged out. He said, but nothing appeared to be running hot or anything. And then later, he went back out there and it was running fine. And I didn't know if it was maybe just a gauge issue or you knew anything about that.
Instrument cluster issues, gauge issues, because all it's doing is measuring resistance on the, and now it's a cylinder head temperature. They usually don't use EC temps, engine coolant temps. So it could just be a bad sensor or it could be a cluster.
Pulled over, no, usually if it's pegged out, you go see steam or smell antifreeze or smell hot. He said it didn't appear to be hot at all.
It's KO4HKX. It will still set a code in the engine if it was the actual temp sensor. So you just have to put a scanner on it and see. GM was having to recall 1 million vehicles.
What do they have to recall for?
They're saying it's because of the oil they put in the 6.2s. Anything with a 6.2 in it, pretty much. Where they're running a 0W20, I believe it is. They're going to do an inspection, an oil change to change the viscosity back up to 0.30, I believe it was, and put a new oil cap on it. That's the recall, because they got engines scattering left and right. Every time I go in the near dealership, there's engines everywhere.
What restate the fuel economy estimates for that?
Probably probably so, because that's got a lot to do with oil viscosity, the reason they run such a thin oil.
Index 2, the gross weight's probably over the limit where they have to post the fuel economy estimates anyway.
It's in the 1500, so it's not over that 8,500 pounds.
They might be on the hook for some further compensation as well.
Any mention of that, so yeah, they're probably waiting and seeing that one slides through.
That lawsuit after they have to update the fuel economy numbers with the government, and then once they do that, there will be they knew or should have known this oil was too thin and they were overstating the actual fuel economy and blah, 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 blah. So the lawyers will get their $40 million and all the owners are going to get a postcard for like 47 cents or something.
Just call it interesting that all they're doing is changing the oil for you. Catastrophic engine failure.
Here Cummins and my Nissan, you know, they're known for breaking the crankshaft, and there's no, you know, they elected not to recall, and they just hope they make it past the warranty period so they can tell people to go, you know, pound sand.
At the Chevy dealer, the Duramax has had the same problem. Can't tell you how many engines I put in for broken cranks on the number two journal.
It's a Nissan, but it's the same one every time, and you can tell it's blued from the heat. And the speculation is that the cranks were either manufactured wrong or there's just oil starvation in that area of the engine. But it happens to a lot of motors, definitely not all of them, and some of them are fine. But I think it has a lot to do with like how hard you run them and how long you run the oil.
People don't realize the harmonics that are going on in an engine, especially on a diesel engine. The harmonics in there is like trying to tear that thing apart, and the more you lighten everything up, the worse it makes that.
People that speculated that it was an engine vibration issue, and there was one company that was actually going to make a new harmonic balancer that was supposed to fix it. But I don't think they ever started manufacturing it because they got a C&D from Cummins and or Nissan on it. But how dare you point out what our problem is for us and fix it.
How dare you capitalize on our mistake.
Got the part number on the crankshaft like midway through 2017. My truck has the newer crankshaft on it, so I'm hoping I'm okay. But the 2016s and early 17s, they definitely have high rate of failure, and they've seen a few in the later models, but not nearly as many.
It's amazing what gets covered up out there in that industry that people don't even know about.
Nissan was expecting, because this 5-liter Cummins, the ISV 5.0 from Cummins is only rated at 260 horsepower, I think, but Nissan tunes it for 310. So they're pushing the motor, you know, 20% beyond its rating from Cummins. And that's why Cummins said, okay, well, you can do this, but you own all of the warranty and repairs. We're not going to touch this motor ever. And if you call Cummins about the 5-liter in the Nissan, they will not talk to you about it.
Par for the course. That's kind of what happened with Ford and International over the 6-liter and 6.4. The 6-liter was just running too close to the ragged edge on what it was capable of with the components. And then you bring out people with tuners and Ford not doing anything about it and them tuning them, and yeah, it was just it was a mess.
I hubbub around the 6-liter back in that, you know, the mid-2000s, I think it was, when they had the 6-liter, and then they went to the 6.4, and then eventually to the 6.7.
That's what a lot of it was just the components they were using was just running too close to the ragged edge, and then you start bumping the horsepower and torque on them. It's just not going to work, because there again, they tried to take too much weight out of it.
7.3.
Better components in it. Powder forged rods, and they're just, you scratch them. I mean, I could take a pocket screwdriver and just scratch it and hit it would break.
If structural integrity relies completely on, you know, that all the structure, and, you know, if you damage any part of it, the thing just falls apart. It's like, you know, the old thing on Mr. Wizard's World when they used to stand on the Coke can, and the Coke can would hold up like 200 or 300 pounds until you deformed it even a little bit, and then it would just crush.
And boy, would it. Because they would come apart.
4ZLE, good morning, fellas.
Hey, good morning, Anthony. Hope you're having a good start to your day. You sound a little rough.
Morning, Anthony, KN4TFW.
Morning, Anthony, W2JKT.
It's been a crazy busy weekend. I've done an engine swap in my son's truck and got a, I don't know if I got like a springtime cold or what in the world, but yeah, I feel a little rough this morning.
Hopefully it goes away quickly, and summertime cold and springtime.
Me, plus I was out, like I said, done an engine swap. So I was out in the pollen and all that stuff all weekend too, so I'm sure that didn't help things.
Beautiful weekend to be outside doing something like that.
Got an 06 Silverado. It's been a good truck. He's had it for a couple of years. Well, about a year and a half, I say. And then it started doing the squawk, or the LS squeak. And I was like, well, I bet we got a lifter with a roller seized up. So I found a, it was a 4.8. And so we replaced it with a 5.3. Found a good bottom end that had like, like 110,000 miles on it or whatever. So I went to pull it out, got it out, went to pull the heads, going to reuse his heads. Come to find out it was more than just the, it was a locked up lifter. Wiped the cam out, but he had some scoring and stuff and a couple of cylinders. Somebody had done some work in this engine, and I think they'd done a boogered up job on it and caused failure later on. But got him up, got him going good now. Plus that 5.3 doing a little bit better than that 4.8. A little bit more power.
Well, I'm glad you got it up going. Hate you had the issue there. It's always a potential for a surprise when you open something like that up.
Plus, I was going to rob some parts. I got a 5.3 that I'm building myself that's going to end up running 4.8 flat-top pistons with the 5.3 cranking rods and stuff. A little bit higher compression, a little bit more torque, stuff like that. But I guess I'm trying to find me another set of 4.8 pistons. I don't know if these are going to be any good or not. I got to check them and see because they may be scuffed. It's just the rings that are messed up. Like I said, I'll take the time to tear it down and look at it real good and go from there. KQ4ZLE for ID. Heard you guys talking about these other engines and stuff. Yeah, but then that oil out's doggone much. These things can't lubricate. I feel like the EPA push, too, has a lot. They're pushing out stuff, this emission stuff. They're trying to lighten everything up. Plus, too, the smaller cubic inches, trying to get the most power out of it. I get it, but gets to a point, like sitting that 6.0, you just, on that power stroke, you just can't handle it after so much. It flies apart.
Found out quickly. It would. That technology, it just wasn't going to hold up to that stress.
Quality of diesel fuel is not that great either. When working EMS, we know, I went to all the different ones of the power strokes, and granted, yeah, that first power stroke at 7.3 was probably superior to all of them. It was a strong engine. Then they started monkeying with it. And like I said, I think all the emission stuff caused a lot of it.
That's what my automotive career, that's what I worked on. Started with the IDI all the way through to the 6.4 and 6.7. So that's what I've done for a living. And I've seen it all. It was bad.
Time we turn around, especially that 6.0, if we had it in one of those ambulances, you know, we'd have about 6 or 7 months. You know, we run those trucks pretty hard. And, you know, 6, 7 months, we'd have to put a daggum motor back in one of them, and it's just crazy.
My brother-in-law owns a towing company up in Northern Virginia, and he had a, like a Ford F-650 rollback for a while. I think that had the 6.7, and he had to have... That thing was in a shop about every month or two for something wrong with its emission system.
Wow, they had some issues with the emissions, but the engine itself is actually a really good engine. That's transmission at all.
Yeah.
turn there. I didn't know if you was going to get it or not. I'm meeting some guys down here for breakfast this morning. So I'm going to jump out. Anthony, Ken, Eric, great to talk to y'all this morning. Be safe out there, and maybe I'll catch you tomorrow or the next day.
You have a good, safe one. We'll catch you later. KN4 TFW.
Be safe out there, man. KQ4 ZLE.
I'm going to be able to catch this afternoon, WTJKT. A 5-liter comes in my pickup truck, and it's definitely got its fair share of problems, too. Mostly from the fact that, I don't know if you heard me talking about it, but, you know, from the factory, from Cummins, it's rated at like 240 or 260 horse or something, and Nissan tunes it up to 310, putting in the marketing numbers on it. So, of course, they're pushing it past what Cummins recommends, and, you know, they break the crankshaft once in a while.
Aggravating. Plus, too, I feel like a lot of these companies are outsourcing parts, just like GM with the early 4853s. For those Castec heads, you know, that company was making a lot of the heads, and they were using inferior aluminum, and so those heads were cracking. I've got a set on the shelf right now in my garage that are perfectly fine, but they're Castec, and I won't even use them. They're just kind of paperweights right now.
I had a company on the other side of North Carolina for me that that's all they do is rebuild the 5-liter Nissan engine. It's like 12 grand, and I just ship it to you, you replace it, and, you know, send your dead motor back.
Crazy, though, when you got a company that'll focus on one particular engine. That's like my truck now. It's a 99.5 Z71 round body style. That truck's got over 440-some thousand miles on it. Doesn't use any oil at all. Doesn't smoke. I put a PCB catch can on it and to clean up the intake and stuff on it. And don't really, the biggest reason I'm going to change is a 4.8. I'm building a 5.3 to go in this place, but I'm going to put all good goodies in it. So go from there, a little bit more torque, a pull, boat, camber, and things like that with. I don't need like a 3/4 ton truck or anything, but give it a little bit more bottom end and stuff like that.
Yeah, people do to the diesel 5-liter in the Nissan too. That they do the cast cans and the bypass oil filter. I think a bypass oil filter is probably not a bad thing to do. I don't know what benefit you get from the cast can in a diesel when it's already, you know, got the EGR and everything is full of soot anyway. What, you know, catching a little bit of oil is not going to make a huge difference there. But I don't know. It's just the emissions control systems they've required have just reduced the reliability of almost everything, and it's infuriating.
100% agree with you on that. Like I said, I feel like the quality of the diesel fuel is nowhere near what it used to be either. Again, you know, I get the emissions thing, but that's like taking the lead out of gas back years ago. I get that, but they just really haven't had anything to replace it as far as octane and lubrication. And I feel like they've done a lot. It's kind of done a lot of the stuff with the diesel, taking the sulfur out and things like that also.
Taking all the sulfur out reduces the lubricity of the fuel by quite a bit. So you need to add other additives to the diesel fuel to bring back that lubrication, especially for fuel pumps. Like, you know, the CP is horribly unreliable. And, you know, there is a conversion kit to go back down to the CP3. Dodge moved away from the CP4 because it was so sensitive to lubricity that, if you get one bad tank of diesel or, one drop of water in there, it's done for. So, lots of aftermarket changes can be made to these engines, but it's just not the same as, you know, just having an engine that was designed to be an engine without all the emissions control crap on it.
That's like with that engine in my truck, having so many miles on it, putting the PCB catch can. Plus, I run, you know, good gas, stuff like that, in ethanol-free fuel, and everything like that. It's unreal how clean the exhaust is in that truck for its age. And, you know, it's got good power. I mean, it runs good. But, like I said, I just want to build that 5.3 and stuff, taking those 4.8 flat-top pistons, running them in that 5.3, a little bit more torque. Then a buddy of mine's going to take and tune it after I get it put in the truck, so be even more so, and just go from there.
The thing about it is that the emission system doesn't really give any environmental benefit that they've been able to prove anyway, so who knows, but maybe one day I can delete this thing and get it over with.
This is the truth. Like I said, I understand taking the lead out. I totally get that. But I think it's more choking these engines more than anything. And I think they have passed a law, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. But I think they've passed a law for, like, emergency vehicles, like ambulances, fire engines, stuff like that, can actually have that removed. Because I had an issue one time. I had a patient in the back of my ambulance, a critical patient, where the stinking thing went out. And it completely killed the truck. I mean, I was running up the road, running about 10 or 15 miles an hour, as fast as it would go, where my driver was. And we had to call for another ambulance because this one wouldn't hardly move because it kicked into that emissions, I forget what it's called.
So if you, like, run out of DEF or if your DPF doesn't regen properly or something, it'll just go into limp mode. And it's enough for you to crawl off to the side of the road, but that's about it.
Ended up being a sensor or something that was making it think it was out of death fluid or something. That's been a little while back now. But yeah, it's definitely aggravating.
I don't have any of that stuff on military vehicles.
I wouldn't think so. KQ4ZLE. But yeah, I just, I don't know, maybe they'll get something going and figure out that it's not, like you said, it's not actually helping the environment as much as they thought. It's actually causing more problems than helping.
Learned. Hey, Ken, you still around?
You're just listening. Didn't have much to contribute.
You empty on your hybrid yet?
We're right now at 44.8.
That's the 48 or 49 on that thing one time.
In town, you know, not doing over 45 or 50, I could probably get it up to 50 easily. But out here on the interstate doing 65, I just can't quite get it. I got loaded down going to Kentucky the other day. I got like 42 out on the interstate.
Phenomenal for a vehicle that size. We had an old Honda back in the 80s, early 90s. It was a CRX, and the thing, you know, it was a CRX HF. So it had like a 50 horsepower four cylinder in it. And it got 57 miles to the gallon, but it was just a two-seater. And, you know, didn't weigh anything. It was horribly unsafe. But, you know, for something, you know, four-seat, you know, SUV to be getting 42 on the highway, even with the modern emissions requirements, that's pretty good.
All about it. It's a decent ride, and, you know, Caesar likes it. And that, not quite the mileage I got out of that Insight. You know, the Insight, I was always up there in the 60s.
Two-seater, wasn't it?
If you looked at it really quick, you'd think it wasn't Accord, but they discontinued it, just switched over to the hybrid Accord.
A nice car. I don't like driving it, but that's what Courtney has, but it is a nice looking car. I just don't know if I like driving it at all. It's just, I think I don't like the CVT in it. It's just not, it doesn't feel very natural.
It was just getting to where it was just too low to the ground. Just made it hard to get in and out of. And that. And on a trip, she was worried about, you know, you're so low and the big trucks are right there beside you and that. So she wanted to get up a little bit higher.
Truck is nice and high.
It's about our new Jeep because it's a little bit higher.
It's quite a bit higher up off the ground than her Accord is. I have to really get down to get into her car.
CVT transmission. My wife has got one of those Nissan Rogues with that CVT, and I'm very leery of it. I've been keeping the fluid changed, plus keeping actual Nissan fluid in it, too. Hopefully we can get rid of that thing before too much longer. But yeah, they feel weird. I don't like the feel the way that they do.
It's like the engine is not connected to the wheels.
It's got a weird feeling to it. Now, granted, that thing will scoot. I forget the engine it's got in it. But like I said, I've just too many horror stories I've heard on that, especially the Nissan service. So hopefully, eventually, for too much longer, we can trade it in or something.
As I got going to Kentucky, you know, I was running it in sport mode, so it used a little more engine. So, but we were up in, you know, mountain roads and that. So, but it did good. Got a normal mode, an economy mode, and a sport mode, but it gets the best mileage in normal mode.
Yeah.
In town in economy mode or something, but That's what I was running at the beginning, but I just couldn't get nothing out of it.
Interrupt, but I'm at the hospital. I'm going to pull in here and see how this ER is going to go today. Enjoyed the conversation. I hope everybody has a good day, and we will talk to you guys later. Y'all be safe out there. KQ4ZLE, I'll be clear.
Have a good one, and I'm going to have to check out to you. I just rolled the gate, so you guys have a good one, and we'll catch you later. KN4TFW.
Guys, I'm going to check out as well, since I'm the last one. I'm going to turn the radio on, just listen to some NPR or something. So you guys have a great one, and we'll catch you a little bit later. This is W2JKT up there.